The Health Fix podcast teaches you how to take charge of your health naturally by giving you the information you need to elevate your health.
Hey, Health Junkies, before we jump in to this episode of the Health Fix podcast, I wanted to tell you a little bit about my guest. His name is Dr. Nima Ramani. He is a chiropractor turned self-help guru. He helps people get out of toxic relationships. He helps you fix your relationship with yourself, work on intergenerational trauma, and all things that have to do with you. So now you might be thinking, oh, that sounds a little too woo-woo. Yeah, you know, when I first talked to Dr. Ramani, I was like, okay, kind of interesting, looking into your inner child, kind of Freudian-ish, but I did a meditation with him after this podcast, and whoa, I was blown away. There are some very interesting things he does with child meditation, so your inner child meditation, but also some breath work. And yes, I'm a naturopathic doctor. Yes, I kind of walk on the fringe of woo, but I'm not, you know, I'm kind of skeptical. So I had to try out his breath work series, and it was pretty freaking cool. So Dr. Ramani's interesting. I highly recommend you stick around and listen to this podcast. You might find out some things that might be helpful for you. So let's get on with the podcast. You and I both kind of have a similar background in terms of working as alternative medicine providers of sorts, you being a chiropractor, me being a naturopath. And one of the things that I think seems to start to happen over after you've been in a practice over a decade is you start to realize that folks' stuff that they're dealing with has a lot to do with emotions, has a lot to do with the mind, has a lot to do with what we've kind of trapped internally.
Totally. Imagine how frustrating that is when patients are coming in with chronic pains and you're wanting to help them and some get better and then others don't seem to get better. And so that frustration, my ego couldn't handle that. So I had to actually figure out why that is. And I started seeing patterns, especially after 15 years, 20 years now almost, that are emotional wounds that have not yet resolved, play a huge part in how we show up in relationships, in the conflicts that happen, and our inability to do conflict well, the unrepaired, because we hadn't had it modeled to us from as children, conflict meant completely, you know, separation and a withdrawal of love. And we didn't know, or it meant utter destruction and devastation. So we didn't do it well. So we avoid it. And when it happens, it leaves such a deep wound that over time it manifests physically. I would get involved in my patients' lives and understand and get to know them. And I'll be like, when did this start? And it'd be like 3 months ago. Well, what happened 3 months ago? Well, or it happened 6 years ago. What happened 6 years ago? That was around the time of my divorce. That was around the time that I lost my father. That was around the time where my son stopped speaking to me. I started noticing, I couldn't ignore it anymore, was that the unrepaired, unresolved conflicts in our interpersonal relationships has a direct correlation with my state of health. And I was just like, what the hell am I doing in the office? So 10 years ago, I started creating these workshops. And here I am 10 years later now, I have an online kind of self-healing community where we focus on restoring kind of deep sense of integrity into relationships and a sense of completeness for those open loops. And when you do, anxiety starts to go down. Your confidence starts to soar. You feel that sense of worthiness again. You don't repeat these patterns and cycles. You're able to catch them and through conscious awareness transform toxic codependent cycles and of enmeshment into alignment, into purpose, into intimacy and emotional regulation. And that seems to be does the trick. People with chronic pains, resolve. People with digestive issues, resolve. People with autoimmune, resolve. Like over time, when they teach their nervous systems how to respond to triggers and conflict, all of a sudden you have an empowered human being who is in the driver's seat of their health rather than looking for heroes and pills and potions and stuff outside of them.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really big comment that you made right there in terms of the potions and looking for things externally to help them. Because I see a lot of folks coming to me and going, hey, doc,
what do I take?
And like five other naturopaths. What am I going to take from you? How am I going to make it away? And gosh, it's so hard to really be like, no, really, we're
you
not
gotta deal with that thing. Yeah. that thing that you haven't spoken to your mother for 3 years, that thing, let's deal with that. No, I don't want to deal with that. She's negative. She's a monster. She's a narcissist. I've banished them and canceled them from my life. Okay, give me what I need now. Like, give me the pill to fix this. And it's like that conflict that you're going through internally because of that breakdown in your interpersonal relationship dynamic is the medicine. Healing that is the medicine. And unfortunately, that takes work. It's not a quick fix. It takes responsibility. It takes a willingness to feel certain feelings you've been trying to push away and put in a box. And the problem is, and yes, it's difficult, but the problem is if we don't do it, this suppression of these emotions, this suppression or repression of all these emotions from those conflicts, the body will scream for you. The body will break down. The body is trying to get you authentic, trying to get you to take off the mask. And we don't listen, and we just want someone in a white coat to be the hero to this illness that is our perpetrator, this illness that we're trying to fight, that we become victim to. So we get stuck in this drama triangle of victim, perpetrator, whether it's a person or a disease, looking for a hero doctor outside of us. And the whole basis of the work that I teach is to say, listen, if you can own that you're playing the victim, and you can own that you yourself are a contributing perpetrator, you're not, and you didn't do this on purpose, but you're the contributing perpetrator with your choices of lifestyle, with the unresolved wounding, with the self, with the guilt that you're holding on to, with the shame that you haven't resolved, the self-attacks that we are beating ourselves up constantly with, the way that we are unconsciously thinking about ourselves. We're perpetrators to ourselves. We're victims to ourselves. And therefore, with that awareness, guess who gets to become the hero? It can't happen any other way, Janine. So this is really empowering people to become their own heroes. That's what I basically focus my entire work on now, through healing your own attachment wounds, healing the inner child within you that didn't feel seen, didn't feel heard, wasn't taught properly how to love themselves, because self-love was modeled to us by parents who didn't love themselves, who were highly reactive, who were raised with the spare the rod, spoil the child, children are to be seen, not to be heard. And we grow up completely dissociated and leaving ourselves, betraying and abandoning ourselves in service of outside approval and pleasing and being the good person and putting on a mask, until finally we reach our 20s, 30s, 40s going, who the hell am I? I've been spending my entire life pleasing other people that I don't know who I am anymore. One of my clients said, I feel like a jellyfish, that I don't know what my emotions are. It's whatever the person is around me. I take on the upsets of the people around me. And then it was this eureka moment I had, which was enmeshment, this inability to contain my emotions and separate them from other people, taking on other people's emotions and taking responsibility for them, which is a habit or a pattern starting deep in childhood, is the pandemic that's causing relationship breakdowns. It's causing a passing down of the traumas from one generation to the next. And we have this cycle of codependency that we're constantly looking outside of ourselves to heal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's a lot of people. And before we got on the recording here, we were talking about how chronic pain, chronic fatigue is all tied into the enmeshment concept, and how folks just can't seem to break that cycle because they're people pleasers. That's
right. Right. And it's not their fault either. No amount of willpower is going to stop you from your tendency to abandon yourself, to betray yourself, and to please another person. This is deep ingrained conditioning in your body. When you were a child and you had an environment where there was alcoholism, where there was some sort of trauma, there was some addictions, there was some sort of a shit show going on at home, where your parents didn't have the ability to regulate their emotions, resource themselves, and to be able to meet your emotional needs. When you're a child, the only way that we can survive and adapt, we create these beautiful adaptive mechanisms, which is, I'm going to leave myself and my own safety. And in order to feel safe, I'm going to take care of this other person, my parent. I'm going to say the right things. I'm going to please. I'm going to succeed. I'm going to perform. If my sense of belonging, sense of love, sense of approval was based on a performance, was based on a grade, was based on a being good boy, good girl, then I will condition myself to abandon myself so that I can get that external validation, which is starts from the conditioning with parenthood. And then, of course, it continues in the school age years, in teenagehood, when you start dating other people. And as soon as you hit your 20s and 30s, and it's not usually until you get married and then you have toxic breakdown in the marriage where you really are called on to unpack all of this and realize the degree of self-abandonment and how deeply conditioned it is in your body and how it started. Didn't even start with you. It didn't even start with your parents, but you are at the effect of it and you're now downloading it onto your children. It's like, okay, those are the people that put their hands up and say, I know it didn't start with me, but I'd love to learn how to heal that. And that's where this whole concept of becoming trigger-proof is the solution. That's how you break the cycle, is becoming trigger-proof, is breaking that cycle, is taking responsibility for the nervous system activations that come up again and again and again when you reject me, again and again and again when someone criticizes me, again and again and again what I'm seeking when I'm looking for approval. When I can look at that and then I can get into my body and heal and soothe and resource those younger parts of me that I left a long time ago in service of approval, we begin to break the cycle and rewire the nervous system and stop the intergenerational trauma, stop the broken families. And the foundation of this work, I started off as a chiropractor, and now I realize that the real work is healing family dynamics and systems. Mm-hmm. And when you focus on healing those things, the family system is the foundation for society. Now this becomes the foundation for healing this craziness from the pandemic and all of that. It becomes individuals taking responsibility for breaking those patterns and cycles.
Now that's, I mean, genius, really. It is stuff that, you know, a lot of us need to be taking into account versus giving supplement after supplement or protocol after protocol. I mean, I'm personally diving into how I can help people on this level. Yeah. As well. And with your Trigger Proof program, I've heard some of your, I've watched some of your videos and you're talking about getting into the dark passenger, getting into all of this. Let's talk a little bit about what the Trigger Proof program kind of dives into. What's going on in there and what are you doing with folks so folks have a better idea of how you can access that dark passenger and figure that out.
Yeah. Well, it all started with me realizing after my divorce, like 10 years ago, I was like, oh, that was a mistake. I'm just going to find another relationship. And then I found myself getting into the same cycle again and again and again. And no amount of therapy, cognitive work, intellectualizing work that I could do, and I kept intellectualizing it, would ever solve the problem of why is it that when you say something or you pull your energy away from me as my partner, that I react in such a abandoned way, that I react with anger and I literally turn into a 5-year-old or a 2-year-old. Why is it that no matter how much intellectualizing I can do about my past and my traumas, that still in relationship with you, you're going to say something that's going to cause me to lose my shit and go into a place where I become either reactive towards you as a self-protective mechanism because I feel so threatened I'm reacting towards you. That's option one. Or what we also see is because of my reaction, instead of acting outward, I will, guess what the other option is, Janine? Shutting down.
Yeah, you're gonna just freeze.
Boom, freeze, shut down, go into a corner. So either reacting by acting out and externalizing or internalizing, that's how we respond to these activations, these triggers that come up that knock us back into a wound. Becoming trigger-proof isn't about being trigger-less. It's about becoming consciously aware and taking responsibility for the body sensations that come up during these activations that happen throughout our day that can show up at work, that show up definitely in our romantic relationships, definitely in parenting, in anything that causes us to get knocked back into an old familiar pattern of a wound from a younger forgotten part about ourselves that maybe was abused as a child. There was some sexual trauma. There was physical trauma. We didn't have the feeling of safety in our primary caregivers. We had the feeling often of of a primary caregiver, mother, father, who wasn't really consistent. We didn't know who was going to show up one day to the next. You know, were they going to be consistent? Were they going to show up? Were they going to be, you know, can we count on them? Was it predictable? This unpredictability in the first few years of our lives are the basis of the foundation of the wiring of our nervous systems. Our attachment to our primary caregivers forms the foundation of our relationship with ourselves. Now, becoming trigger-proof is really about the process of learning how to regulate the nervous system so that those anxieties and activations and that lack of safety feeling in our body, that the world is not safe and I'm going to die, that started long before we even had language, that started possibly in utero with the stress of your mother, you know, while she didn't know whether dad was going to be around or not, that stress that was downloaded onto you, that feeling of dysregulation in the nervous system needs to be addressed. That's part one of that, you know, kind of becoming trigger proof. I call it an upgrade of intimacy. So you got to really get connected with your body and your nervous system. That's part of the training. The second part is to make sense of and clear your past resentments and regrets. All of these, like I just got off a call with a person who just signed on. And she's like, when I go to bed, my mind just keeps racing of all the things, the regrets, all the bad decisions that I made, and the things that it's just a nonstop, never-ending loop. In other words, she's holding on to resentments and regrets. Becoming trigger-proof is all about making sense of all of those choices and understanding them fully with compassion and clearing the resentment, clearing your victim story, getting out of that victim story of the anger and rage you feel towards parents and ex, people who are basically stuck in their unconscious loop, okay? And the third part is dancing with this dark passenger, this little voice in your head that's constantly saying, I'm not enough. It's basically, unconsciously, I discovered that it was running the show of my life. I was trying to be successful. I was trying to get approval from women, not just one, but several. At the same time, simply because that was my adaptive strategy to cope with that little voice in my head that said, I'm not enough. So I have to keep getting the shiny new object, more, 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 hustle, 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 do more, do more, do more. It's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. All came from an inability to dance with that dark passenger. The work becomes to learn how to integrate that part that's in all of us, integrate it and have it working for you instead of against you. And the next part of becoming trigger-proof is really to learn how to empathically communicate with those younger parts of you, that inner child that that felt wounded, that didn't feel seen, that didn't feel heard. Your work is to give that younger part of you through the process what they didn't have from their caregivers. If we don't do that, we will always be looking outside of us. When we do that, we then become unfuckwithable. In other words, other people can say what they, we don't become so much at the effect of what other people think of us when we get that right. And then the next parts, after you empathically communicate with that part, becoming trigger-proof, what's required is a commitment because you have this conditioning. It's been going on for a long time. What we notice is 3 to 6 months and you start becoming really competent in expanding that space between stimulus and response.
Wow.
You know, between stimulus and response, instead of reacting, after doing this within 3 months, becoming part of the conversation within a community, having a guide and a mentor to walk you through those uncomfortable things and teach you how to expand that space, within 3 to 6 months, you're now able to take control. Now, you're less reactive. You're more self-compassionate rather than self-loathing. And it definitely require a guide to get you there, because if you can do it alone, you would have done it already by now. Essentially, those five elements of nervous system regulation, clearing your past resentments, dancing with your dark passenger, empathically communicating with yourself, and learning how to empathically, consciously, empathically communicate with others. Not empath, like a unconscious empath where you're annihilating or betraying yourself, but you're doing empathy by self, a self-resource version of you. You can empathize with someone. When you do that, all of a sudden you have a deep sense of presence. You have a deep sense of understanding towards yourself and others, those ones who even hurt you. You have an understanding towards them rather than staying stuck in that story of victim identity with it. And you start to feel more authentic, more vulnerable, more ability to feel comfortable in your own skin. And now you have an opening in your nervous system where your autonomics go more into what we call ventral vagal, where you feel connection, where you feel a sense of you know, safety within your body. And that is when self-love starts to expand. And so the net result of it is self-love, authenticity, understanding, self-love, vulnerability. Becoming trigger-proof really is about truly having fulfillment, because it's not about, I realized I had all of these things on my vision board that I wanted to manifest, but I never set a healthy, regulated nervous system. But in fact, no matter what I would achieve, without a healthy, regulated nervous system, I couldn't enjoy any of those things. So it doesn't really matter if you have all of the great, amazing, shiny things. If you don't have a feeling of safety in your body, a sense of connection in a relationship where you feel that the relationship is a source of nourishment rather than depletion, you don't have anything. The experience of life isn't great. And then your health will deteriorate to try to wake you up to empowering and loving yourself.
Isn't that crazy how our bodies do that? I find it absolutely, I mean, cool.
Spooky.
And like also creepy that we have this ability to make ourselves sick. We have this ability to create all kinds of chaos.
Yeah. And this isn't about victim blaming, and it's not your fault. It's just, we have an ability to do that to ourselves. And so here I am 20 years in practice going, I need to teach people how to love themselves, because that's really the adjustment above Atlas that they need in order to heal.
Yeah. Interesting connection with that in terms of the AO and my brain, Atlanto occipital adjustments. I mean, I think a lot of times I'll be like, oh, your head's not on straight. And then I'll be like, we should get an adjustment for you. And then now, because I've been seeing so many things in terms of folks, I'm like, that's what that means.
Right. Like, what adjustment can solve a problem caused by your inability to say no to the point of exhausting yourself? What adjustment or pill or homeopathic remedy is solved by this deep sense of grief over the loss of a parent, or this sense of a child that just so didn't feel seen? No pill or potion can solve that. And these illnesses, I believe, are a wake-up call to help guide us back to healing those forgotten parts of ourselves, so much so that our bodies are willing to love us so much and want our authentic selves so much that they're willing to have us die rather than live a life that's not authentic to us.
So crazy.
That was a big discovery. And so I realize if a patient is coming to me for help and they don't believe they're worthy of health, they don't believe they're worthy and deserving of health, nothing I do will ever make a difference.
Yeah.
In order to heal, you must feel worthy and deserving of healing. And if you've done something that you feel ashamed about or you feel guilt about and you haven't resolved that, that pain of that guilt is so unbearable that these illnesses will show up, these chronic fatigues and illnesses will show up as a gift to try to distract ourselves from that pain. And so a lot of people don't really like it when I say, all right, I see you have this chronic issue. Are you ready to deal with the guilt and the grief of why this is there? Why this is actually there? And that's terrifying to them. It's almost as though they'd rather just keep going to doctors and trying to find another outside in solution so that they can then feel, okay, at least I don't have to deal with the real hurts. And so I started getting tired of working with those people, and I left my full-time practice, and now I have it set up in such a way where the only people that I see are the ones that are ready to take full responsibility, not blame. This isn't about blame. Mm-hmm. There, once you really do this work and see yourself as part of the matrix of this intergenerational kind of downloading of trauma that didn't start with you or your parents, you realize there's really no one to blame.
Yeah.
But it's empowering to take responsibility. And when you do, you break the cycle for your children and your parents. So I was able to transform my relationship with my parents. Within 2 years, I went from a toxic relationship that was highly codependent and highly volatile. I mean, the police almost got involved. Mm-hmm. And it got so bad. It just kept getting worse and worse. It was the wake-up call I needed to stop really working and then go inside, heal those attachment wounds. And now here we are 2 years later. I'm about to be a dad in 1 month. My wife is 8 months pregnant. I got married 4 or 5 months ago. April. And here we are, like something I never thought that would happen, but it did on the other side of me doing the work.
That's huge. That is huge. I mean, proof, you have the best proof right there that getting into things and diving into things really works. So you might be noticing I'm moving around, Kara. My laptop is trying to die. It is a comedy.
Okay.
Comedy of errors today.
No worries.
So
yeah, it happens. Technology.
Oh, technology. There we go.
Plug it back in. And yeah, so this is really a great, it's like, wow. And now in the relationship that I'm in, I now see the relationship as a space for both of us to heal and evolve and grow together. And so the relationship becomes now a spiritual practice. And so that's really what comes down to, because truthfully, healing happens through relationship over time. So here I am seeing patients and making a difference with getting adjusted, and but I really loved empowering people to become their own healer, starting with healing the younger parts of them that felt forgotten or abandoned or betrayed.
That's fabulous. I want to hear more about your program, because now you also have the Overview program, mm-hmm. as well. Now, how does that differ from the Trigger Proof, and how does that kind of play out?
Trigger Proof is just a concept. It's This is a concept where you learn the skills to take ownership and expand the space between stimulus and response, so that you can heal your attachment wounds and create healthy relationships around you and heal your body. That's just the concept. I have events called the Overview Experience, which used to be like a 3-day event, but thanks to COVID, I've compressed it to a 5-hour live virtual Zoom retreat where I teach you the methodology called the Overview Method to help you break free from your current stuck pattern and see yourself from a bird's eye view perspective. If you can see behind me, there's a picture up there of Earthrise. It's a picture of the Earth from the moon. And when astronauts would leave the planet and they would see the entirety of the globe and they'd come back, they would come back as changed people. There was a different shift, a perspective that happened to them. And that there's a name for that. It's called the Overview Effect. And so what I do at the Overview Experience is, let's say, for example, you're coming in and you've been going through a divorce or separation, or you've been having a health crisis, or you've been really feeling quite activated and triggered and in a conflict. What I do is I get you out of your body and observing yourself from the moon and seeing how you were a product of your intergenerational trauma. And I take you through a process and a journey, really, of going in and rescuing the younger part of you that this trigger is all about. And the Overview Method is the process of taking a trigger and turn and going back to the underlying root, transferred, projected younger part of you that this is really about, and rescuing and healing that part of you, bringing that the message, the dialogue, the wisdom that you and that younger part of you through this active imaginative meditation process, connecting with that, and the dialogue there just so happens will be the perfect wisdom that you're going to need in your current challenge today. So the overview method is a tool where you go into the body and extract the wisdom from the wounded inner child, the exact wisdom you need now. And the overview experience is an event where I teach you the method to extract your own inner voice.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty cool.
As you practice this, you become trigger proof. You become responsible for your own emotions. You become expert at regulating your emotions. You become connected to a purpose and a cause greater than you. You heal your relationships and you expand on intimacy. So becoming trigger proof is really all about those major goals of expanding intimacy, emotionally regulating, healing your relationships and connecting to purpose.
Wow.
And we do that through our events and programs.
So it sounds like if you are wanting to work on yourself, you might want to bring your partner with you to do the program as well.
A lot of people say that after they're done, they're like, God, I wish my partner did this, because it helps to have somebody on the same path as you. And it is rare though, because when you approach your partner, a lot of times your partner's like, they have to be willing to look at themselves. They have to be willing to see that they have some unresolved wounding that they would like to heal. Because this isn't something like, oh, you're going to get ice cream. Wonderful. We're going out for ice cream. I'll bring you along with me. Sure, I'll tag along. It's not like that. It's more like, I'm going to go and go into a program where I'm going to burn off, 20 pounds of fat in the next 3 to 6 months. And I'm going to go intense to release all of those years of emotional baggage. So it's not like the partner's like, sure, I'll tag along. It's like, yeah, I really want to do this because I'd like to create a secure, healthy relationship with you. So of course, it's ideal. This is not a couples therapy, even though many couples have come in and they say, we're at our wit's end. We're ready to have a divorce. We've been married for a year. I'm ready to call it quits. I'm like, okay, are both of you willing to? They're like, do you do couples stuff? And I say, I don't actually do couples stuff. I don't do couples counseling because oftentimes that's like two people going to mommy and daddy trying to be validated. That's not what this is about. This is about two people on their own individual path of healing and sharing with one another what comes up for them, making them responsible for their own healing. So in a perfect scenario, when I see in our programs, couples doing the work together, like parallel to one another. Mm-hmm. It's not like they do couples work. Yeah. That's a different thing. When they do the work together, they realize nothing needs fixing. They don't need to work on the marriage. They actually need to work on themselves. And in so doing, the marriage starts to transform into an adult type of relationship.
Wow. Growing together. Like it. I like it. In terms of family members, have you ever had two family members work on themselves in the program at the same time?
Members. Oh, that's a great question. Like sister, brother. I've had couples.
Or mom and daughter, or mom or son, someone like that. I don't know. It just popped in my head.
It's a good question. Yes, I've had them in my events, but not my programs.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So say someone wants to jump in to getting to know you and getting to know the program. You talked to me a little bit about your Facebook group
Trigger Proof is a Facebook group where I put out a lot of free content that talks about relationships, creating secure attachment in relationships, identifying your attachment style, which started, as a child, the way that you interacted with your parents and the way they were regulated or not, pretty much sets the blueprint for your neurology throughout your whole life. So identifying what that is a starting point. We talk about that a lot. We talk about conflict. I answer questions. A lot of times people message me, help, I'm in a relationship where this is what he does. How do I make him stop or whatever? And then I really constantly bring the conversation back to what's coming up for you. Where does that come from? How to take what's in front of you. And instead of pointing fingers and blaming or trying to get the world around you to change, this work is all about how is the spirit, really the spiritual, neurological, spiritual practice of transforming your internal state so that you could become more resilient and expand your capacity to handle whatever challenges are in front of you on this climb of life, on this Mount Everest climb of life, how to become better prepared and more resilient towards it so that we can have probably the most important holy grail of our human existence is a healthy, secure, attached relationship. Really, that's the goal of that. And so I have a lot of free content. I have a YouTube channel that kind of highlights that as well, if Facebook isn't your jam. And these live events that I do, the overview experience, I have breath work. It's called Breathwork and Badassery, where I teach you how to get into your body and heal and connect with your inner child. And online programs for people who, those are people, you know, those are in group settings or whatever, but people who want our help, my team's help and support and guidance up that mountain. We also have a way for people to receive that as well. There's a link there for people who are actually wanting guidance on that. You want somebody, you definitely, what I shared is the path to healing. It is 100%. We can't leave those elements that I mentioned out. Make sure that wherever you go to heal, you don't necessarily have to work with us, but you got to have those elements together. Mm-hmm. And so those who aren't too offended by my style and my direct approach, they might want to reach out to me and get that support. Because we support and we kick your ass too. Because a lot of times what I'm finding, people who've come to us, they've already done 2 to 3 years of therapy. And therapy is fine, at provided they're giving you tools and they're not just keeping you supported, stuck in a story. The story that you get stuck in, that victim story or poor me story, it feels good to have someone validate you, especially in the beginning. It's very critical as you are hurt and wounded and you're going through that. You really need that. But unfortunately, a lot of times these therapeutic models keep you there. Mm-hmm. And 3 years later, you're still telling the story. This here is for people who are like putting up their hand going, all right, I'm ready to let go of this story. Why do I always keep reverting back to victimhood? And then we answer that through the work by helping you rescue that wounded inner child that wants mommy and daddy to see you and never did. So we teach you how to give that to you.
Wow. Wow. And you're saying 3 to 6 months in terms of time frame. And I think it's, you know, because a lot of people, and I know it's individual, right? I know that we can't put a time on it, but I want to kind of put it out there again. So folks aren't just listening to me being like, taking care of your own stuff is a very long time.
Yeah. How long will this take? People ask me, how long will this take? Will this work for me? And I look at it like this. It's like, okay, you go to a trainer. All right. And if I'm 30 pounds over my ideal weight, I go to a personal trainer and then I ask him, is this going to work for me? What's he going to say? Or she going to say? She's going to say, yes, it will, provided you have these certain criteria. You show up. When you fall off track, you get right back on track. You are committed to the process. If you're committed, I don't know how long you're going to take. It's going to take you to lose that 30, but it's going to take what it takes for you. What my experience has been working with over the past few years, 300-400 clients, is that we're rewiring this condition of enmeshment and self-abandonment. You're going to resist that from the beginning. You're going to think you're not worthy of deserving of it. You're going to have guilt about prioritizing yourself, especially if you're a mom. You're going to have guilt about, you know, investing in yourself when it should go to the kids. You're going to have all of these old stories that are your obstacles to it working. Your work is to transcend those obstacles and show up again and again. And once you've been doing that and practicing it, it takes about 3 to 6 months for you to go from I'm unconsciously incompetent with being able to resolve my own triggers and my emotions and master them, to after about 3 to 6 months, you're now, within the first 3 to 4 weeks, you're now consciously incompetent. You're like, I don't even know what I don't know. All I know is I have no control of my emotions. Other people are in charge of me. And I don't know how to say no. I have this disease to please. And I'm constantly worried about what other people think of me. And my health has turned to shit. And I have no, you know, energy, and I'm constantly hurt. I'm easily reactive. People are afraid to tell the truth around me. I get into the same argument. Like, you go from there, you're unconsciously incompetent. After about 3-4 weeks, you're like, holy shit, I'm now consciously incompetent. I see the degree of self-abandonment. And that's a big wake-up call for people when they realize, they're like, holy shit, like, I can't believe what's ahead of me. But yet at the same time, had I not known this, I couldn't keep going the way I was going. So it's a double-edged sword. They're like relieved to know why they are in the way they are. And yet they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe to the degree of self-abandonment and betrayal, how I've been betraying myself. It's very painful and a necessary part of the process. We all have to go through that. And so once you, after about the 12-week point, they now are consciously competent. They will say things, clients will say things like, you know what, my husband, you know, he was upset. He asked me so-and-so question. He told me to do so-and-so, but then I was now able to say, no, I had other things in my agenda and I can't do that right now. I can't put those aside. And it felt incredibly guilty for me to do that. And I was just wanted to crawl out of my skin, but I actually was able to hold ground and he respected me for it. Or he didn't, or he's upset still at me, but I'm okay because I know I spoke up for myself for the very first time. And how long does this take? Dr. Shefali, have you ever heard of her?
No.
Dr. Shefali wrote a book called Conscious Parenting. And she talks about the role of being a parent is to be a conscious parent. It's not about me teaching the child. It's about me being willing to have the child be my teacher as much as I'm teaching them. And all their challenges and woundings that come up, I'm going to use it as an opportunity to heal and reparent myself while I'm parenting this one. And she says that it takes a good year or two to really resolve those attachment wound pleasing behaviors. So I've been at it deep, hardcore, like for the last 25 years, but deeply in my body, the embodied work of this nervous system regulation. And it's weird, Janine, because 6 months ago, even, I'm better now than I was 6 months ago and way better than I was 1 year ago. So I know that in 2 years' time, I'm going to be even more heart-centered. I'm going to be even more authentic. I'm going to be even more unfuckwithable. I'm going to be less likely to be so swayed by outside voices, because the work is a restructuring of your neural wiring in your prefrontal cortex to be able to have your voice inside trumping outside voices. So that's not a finish line to this.
No.
This is a lifelong thing. It's you don't have a finish line, because what this work is a willingness to say, you know what, I'm never going to fully heal all those wounds. However, I'm willing to have whatever triggers that come up be a window or a portal for me to jump in and to love the shit out of myself. And I'm willing to have this conflict that's in front of me with my partner, with my children, instead of it tearing us apart and rupturing, be a window to deeper intimacy. So it's a skill. It's like golf. When are you going to get good at golf? Well, in about 3 months, you're going to be better than you were. In about 6 months, you're going to be even better. After about a year, you're going to be way better and you'll still have room to improve. Mm-hmm. So that's how I like to, people say, is this going to work for me? And I give them the golf analogy. Is it going to work? Is this golf lesson going to help me become you're going to have to practice. You're going to have to suck. You're going to have to be willing to suck. You're going to have to be willing to fail. You're going to have to it's a skill like any other. It's a practice. It's an awareness. And the other side of it is healthier relationships. And within my relationship, the conflicts that I go through now, before it was like, I'm in conflict. I got to get out of this. This is wrong for me. Now the conflict is, oh, we're going to get through this, even though I'm pissed off right now. We're going to get through this and we're going to be even closer because I have the tools, because I have the skills. And that's what this is.
Love it. Love it. I mean, that's what we need, the tools to be able to take care of ourselves.
That's it. That's all this is. Becoming trigger proof is that. It's a trigger proof toolkit that you master, and you are going to have even more on your toolbox as you go. The question is, what's been the cost of you not knowing it? If you don't learn this, what will your life be like? What has it been like? What have your relationships been like? What has your sense of purpose been like? What has your ability to emotionally regulate been like? What has your level of intimacy being seen in a relationship been like? And it's difficult, yet I believe it's even more difficult to have all that in chaos. Mm-hmm. So it's a choice. And I love it. People are now starting to realize I'm now going to become a self-healer. I'm going to do this. I'm going to learn the skills and become my own hero. I'm going to stop looking for heroes outside of me.
Yeah.
So that's the container that I hold, is a community where we're all up to the same conversation.
I love it. I love it. Becoming your own self-hero. That's well said. I think that is like, boom, drop the mic there. We're done.
Perfect.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of your wisdom and what you've learned and all of the good stuff, man. This is awesome. Now, best place for folks to go to right now, because I like to give folks, what can they do after they've listened to this? They're fired up. They're like, yeah, I need to do this. Where is the number one spot?
Come to my overview experience and two things, Breathwork and Badassery and Overview Experience. They are affordable events which have you dip your toe into the community and the container, where you start to learn how to become trigger proof, and then afterwards you'll be able to decide, wow, this is something I really want to delve into. I can see where I'm stopped. You get to see the exact wound where the window is. You get to see what the missing piece is in these events, and this is where you get to choose to go all in afterwards if you want.
Nice.
That's the best place to start.
Perfect.
And definitely join my Facebook group and ask questions and engage. I'm really easy to talk to. And
perfect. I will put all of those links, folks, up on drjkrausnd.com in the podcast notes there so that you can access all of it. And I'll put it on all of my IGTV and all of the promo. And I've got it right there. You just put it in the chat too.
So. Beautiful.
I will put it up for you guys, and you guys can grab all of that. And Dr. Nima, thank you so much. This is fabulous.
Janine, thanks for the opportunity to share what makes my heart sing.
You're most welcome.
Hey, Health Junkies, Dr. Janine Krause here. I hope you enjoyed my podcast. Guess what? I have a Facebook group. It's called Anti-Aging Health Tips with Dr. Janine Krause. So if you want a little bit more of the Health Fix podcast, head over to my Facebook group and let's chat. Now I'm also offering a health transformation and restoration program. It's a one-on-one with me, and it's for folks who are sick and tired of going to doc after doc and health coach after health coach and not seeing the results that they want and deserve. In my program, I'm working with folks with transformation. So this isn't just a light program. This is a big deal. I'm going to change how you think about your health and your life kind of program. And I'm super excited to offer it to folks. And if you are at all interested, we should talk. I'm offering 45 minutes free with me chatting to see if and how I can help you. And you can get all the details over at my website, drjkrausnd.com. All right. You've survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Subscribe, rate, and share info.